It was September the 21st, 2008. There was an event that took place that day. It was at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Church, Unitarian Universalist. And it was my first opportunity to come and to introduce myself to you, the congregation, and to share in a dialogue regarding race. I was a co-speaker with Dr. E. Franklin Dukes, and we discussed the topic of race in Charlottesville and, of course, race as it pertains to the University of Virginia. Channel 19 Newsplex covered that event, and I happen to have in front of me, because I was just looking at some of my document archives, and this particular reporter covered the event. And I noticed some of the comments that were made back in 2008 and how those comments still pertain today. I was quoted by saying, we are a tale of two cities, and we need these types of dialogues and this type of outreach. Dr. Dukes, he commented that there were a lot of people who would like to be able to walk around the university and be able to say that this place is just and fair and that we can overcome the problems of our past. But we're not there yet. And then finally, I was quoted by saying that reconciliation is a very misleading term, and that there has to be an accountability and responsibility for those who have been privileged to recognize that it came at a cost and at an expense to others. Now, that was back in September of 2008. We're here today in April of 2016. Depending on your point of view or your perception, questions could be asked whether or not there has been progress, whether or not there has been change. I am an optimist because I believe that if there hasn't been change in the world, I can admit there has been change in me. I'm grateful for the fact that I'm not the same person I was in 2008. I'm grateful this morning because I've learned much in these past 8 years. And I don't believe I'm the only one. I believe there are those of you here that can say that you're not the same that you were back in 2008. And so if that be true, then we all have a cause and a reason to rejoice. And so this morning, using the Christian scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to focus on verse number 15, because again, if we understand that we are a creation of an almighty God and we believe that we are all members of one eternal body, I want to focus on verse 15 for our hearing today, and I want to talk about how this particular writer, who is Paul, he mentions and he gives a comparison between the foot and the hand. He says that if the foot says, I am not of the hand and therefore not of the body, then how can the foot be part of the body? And so with that, I want to leave with you as a theme, as a subject, I want to talk about different strokes. My friends, we are here in Charlottesville, and as you know, there are two main issues that are predominant today. One you are going to be discussing later on today, and that is the subject of Black Lives Matter. It is an interesting type of issue. Many of you who have done your research, you know that this came actually as a result of the Trayvon Martin shootings several years ago, and that three young ladies, because of the horror of that event and how that was handled, they went on Facebook and they started a Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter is not an organization, it's just a movement. And regrettably, like many, something that started out as good for some have been hijacked and made to look something that it is not. I don't know what your process was in coming to the conclusion that you're coming to. I don't know what you're going to be voting on regarding the Black Lives Matter movement. I understand that it is something that your denomination has passed down and said to you that we want to support this. I don't know if there was any African-American input. I don't know if there was any African-Americans that sat at the table and conversed with you as to why you feel this is necessary. I am not a representative of the African-American community. I'm just a voice. For me, personally, Black Lives Matter is offensive. Why? Because I really don't need your affirmation to determine my worth. My worth comes from the one who has created me. And because of my gratefulness to him for what he has done in my life, I don't need your affirmation, nor do I need your approval. The bottom line is that all lives matter, just not black lives. Because you, Thomas Jefferson, have had a history, and you of the Unitarian Universalist faith had had the opportunity to address these tough issues and to have a level of sensitivity regarding these issues, there are many in my community that don't know what you have attempted to do. But I do, and I'm grateful for the partnership. For instance, as we look at Black Lives Matter, one may ask the question that when you plan on, or if you plan to hold or hang the sign in front of this, your building, and then if someone African American were to look at it, see it as being something welcoming, and walk in and see a homogeneous congregation, that in itself would be a little disingenuous. I understand what it is that you're attempting to do, but they may not. And as you know, perception oftentimes is reality. And so whatever it is that you decide to do with Black Lives Matter and however you decide to support it, again, I've just learned a long time ago, it's not what the message is, but it's who funds the message, where you have to be very careful. There is another incident or issue, as you know, that's happening in this area, and that's the one of course, the Lee Park statue. I've been blessed to be in a strategic position where on tomorrow at the City Council, City Hall, there's going to be a discussion on the Lee statue and all statues in this area as to what its relevance and its impact is. Let me say this about the Lee Park statue and other related statues. I must admit, I must say to you that, again, I am not a destroyer of history. I believe history is valuable. I am not one to believe that the statue should be removed. What you must, however, understand that what that history represents is not my history. I can certainly respect your history, but I also have the right to look at this history or this representation of history from my experience and the experience of my lineage. And so, if we were to look at that, what would we see? We would see a different picture. We would see one of suffering. We would see one of injustice and discrimination. And maybe that will help you understand what it is that we are saying when we give, when we question, or when we challenge a symbol, or when we challenge a statement, or when we challenge something that we don't like. If we want to be real with ourselves today, let's remember, back during the days of Jim Crow, it was actually unlawful for a black man to question, to condemn the words or deeds of a white man. I believe that that still exists today. I regard and I applaud the efforts of my young city councilor, regardless of what I may feel as to what his methods or approach is, that's not the issue. But what he has done is he has ignited a conversation of which, had he not done what he had done, we would still be living in the status quo existence. And so that tells me, just like this particular passage of scripture, that all things work together for the good. And even though you may think there's something that is done and said that may be controversial, maybe something that you don't agree with, sometimes you need a spark. You need something to ignite us and bring us to action. As we look at this particular passage, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, Notice the fact, those of you that are historians, you know that Corinth was a cosmopolitan city, was the center of trade, and there were a lot of different religions that were practicing at the time. And Corinth, just like many other places, had their issues. Paul wrote this letter to encourage and to address some of those issues. And in this particular text, what he is encouraging you and I today is that if we believe in the seven principles that you claim to believe, the inherent worth and dignity of every man, the free and responsible search for truth, justice and respect, and all of the various principles that you espouse, then you understand that all of us have gifts and all of us have a purpose. And so my appeal to you today is simply this. If you believe that you were brought here on this world for such a time as this, and because we are living in exciting times right now, I believe personally that you, Thomas Jefferson, that you, the Unitarian Universalist faith, you are in a prime spot right now to make a difference in our community. Your history has been one of sensitivity. Your history has been one where you have strived to ensure that all men are created and treated equal. And now it's time for you to stand up. The difference between the foot and hand is simple. As you know, those of you that either are biologists or if you deal in psychology, you know that the face and the hands are the two most important organs in the body. People look at the face first and then the hands. They look at how you look and then they see by the hands what you do. But what often happens is that there are other parts of the body that don't get as much notice. One of those is the foot. And yet, without the foot, you could not have any balance. Yet, without the foot, you would not be able to transfer your weight. And yet, without the foot, you would not have propulsion and you would not have ambulation, the ability to move around. If I were to use this particular passage of scripture as I come to a close today, let me do it this way. We feel ourselves as African Americans that we have been the foot for a long time. We have managed and handled and transferred somebody else's weight. Because of us, we have moved for the benefit of others. And as a result of that, the time has now come where we're not asking to be anything but what we have been called to be, but we do want the recognition of the value that we bring to the whole body. We didn't create welfare. We didn't create affirmative action. We do not control the drug trade. And all of the various things that have been ascribed to us, we don't even have control over. And so for those who create the problem and then want to condemn the problem they create, that is also disingenuous. We want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness just like you. I've got a dog that he's precocious. I just want to be able to enjoy my dog and play with my dog. I enjoy travel. I enjoy going out to nice restaurants. My wife, we love to go out into the mountains and the country and all of the various things that you choose to do or love to do. And so the question is, why do we have to look upon one another to suggest the fact that we would not want those things too? I'm here today to encourage all of us that in times such as these, it's time for us to get up, it's time for us to step up, it's time for us to wake up, and it's time for us to look up. And for those of you that believe that there is a God, I believe that our time is now. I want to thank you today because I know that when we talk about things such as these, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to be inconvenienced. But guess what? These are tough times. And if I can borrow a saying of one of my favorite movies, The American President by Michael Douglas, I believe he says something like this: these are tough times, and tough times need tough people. May God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.